I have some more bad news, I guess. I heard last night that Biden is sending out his dogs against the Southern Baptist Convention. Apparently, they're going to be investigated just like President Trump is being investigated. And I saw this on Spencer Smith. He had like kind of a special program. Now, Southern Baptist Convention is a dumpster fire of bad theology, and I wouldn't recommend Southern Baptist. Although there's some good Southern Baptist churches still, I don't know why they're still staying in the convention. It's pretty bad. But that's just a sampling of what could be happening very, very soon. So if we haven't sobered up and gotten serious about what we're doing, maybe it's time to get serious about it. So, all right, I have to tell you, I had a sermon already. I had it, you know, I was just putting the finishing touches on it last night, and then I saw that. And one thing led to another, and so I said, wait a minute, I got to do a whole new sermon. So I did this last night. and so I don't know, you know, we could be done by 11:30 or we might be here till 3 o'clock. I'm not real sure. So we'll just do when I'm done, I'm done, and there you go. So go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. I would actually like to read the entire book of Genesis, but, you know, I figured, well, nah, I guess not. But, so I took the next best thing. I'm going to take the whole first chapter. And I'll get into why. So hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, and the seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the night from the day, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Just as a note there, I love that. If you ever looked, if you can go maybe out west, at night, and where there's no, you know, lights on the man-made lights, you cannot believe how many stars there are. They're just, I mean, the whole sky is just lit up with stars. It is amazing, and you know we miss that because of all the light that we have here. We can't see it anyway. And he just put that as a, oh, by the way, I just, yeah, like nothing. I just made the stars. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree, and which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The reason I took this entire chapter is because this is so critically important to anything and everything that we believe. And today there is an attack on specifically the Bible, but most notably the book of Genesis. Because if the book of Genesis falls, all of Scripture falls. If you don't believe this, I've talked to people that say, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible, you know, like 23rd Psalm or maybe John 3:16, I believe that. But that Genesis stuff, the garden and Adam and Eve, no, I just can't believe that. Because, you know, we have evolution and we have, you know, it's 5 billion years old. So, if you don't believe this, you don't believe any of the rest of it. You may say you do, but you don't really. You don't really. Because this is absolutely key to everything that follows in the Bible. You know, growing up, we used to play cards a lot. You know, we'd play Old Maid and Go Fish and War and all those kind of things. And I think we had two decks of cards. That's before computers, of course. And when we weren't playing cards, we would put together a house of cards to see how high we could, you know, build it without it falling down. And of course, you know, somebody walked by and the whole thing would fall down. But so you start all over and try again. But after you were done building it, then you try pulling one card out at the bottom to see how long it would stand. And it never stood more than one card pulled out. Why? Because everything that was the entire structure was dependent on the base. And when the base is compromised, everything falls down. And it's the same thing with this. If Genesis is compromised, if Genesis is changed, if Genesis is attacked, then all the rest of the Bible is going to fall in on it. And you get all kinds of wacky doctrines and things that don't make sense. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is a familiar verse, but I think we need to, especially in the day and age that we're living in, we need to we need to kind of commit this one to memory. And verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So the enemy, Satan, what does this tell us? He's, one, a liar, and two, a murderer. Now, our society, our government is under satanic attack. I don't know if anybody could disagree with that. But the same enemy that is attacking our government and our country and really the whole world is what attacks the church. So we can learn a lot about his tactics from what he's doing and see it in the church, because he uses the exact, he doesn't have a lot of imagination. And he doesn't need it, because what works, he does it again. And we don't learn from it. And this is why I'm not saying that we're here to study current events or anything like that. But we need to know what's happening in a biblical viewpoint, understanding that the devil is doing this. And we want to look at what his tactics are, so that we can, just like we're in war, which we are, it is a spiritual war, that we can defend against it, and that we can block his attempts to do this. The church has been under attack for way longer than the government has, although the government has been under attack also. And in many cases, I think the church, especially in America, is in much worse shape than our government is. And our government's in really bad shape. It's on life support right now. So what we need to do as Christians is that we need to be able to see what's happening and be able to block it, because we've got power. This government doesn't have power to resist it, but we do. If you're born again, if you're saved, you do have the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think we live in a world of lies, and I don't really, until maybe 2 years ago with COVID, I think we trusted the government. Well, the government says that, this is we're all going to die. Okay, that must be true. And we don't realize that our government is compromised, because it is of the world, and who's the father of lies, and who is the god of this world. So why are we surprised when we get lies from our government? And the easy thing to do is to just say, well, I'm patriotic, I believe whatever the government says. And there's a lot of people who will connect patriotism to believing whatever the government says. And there are people I've heard that no matter what they say, they'll run with it. They'll just believe it. Excuse me. Belief is the centerpiece of the Christian life. And so it matters what you believe. And so the devil is trying to destroy that belief and get that belief contaminated with lies. So if you can, and that's why children are targeted. They are the targets. We've got to get the schools. We've got to make them, wear masks, and we've got to keep them 6 feet apart, and we've got to put them in plastic things, and we've got to do all this stuff because they'll remember that, and they'll say, "Oh yes, we have to be compliant," and that is what the devil just thrives on, and especially for future generations. They told us, it was safe and effective, and then we kind of come out, well, it's not really effective, and maybe not that safe either. 9/11, arguably, I would be an engineer. It always bothered me that they buildings just falling down, imploding on themselves. That's just simply not the way it happens. I mean, that has to be planned. That's what we saw and what we were told are two different things. I saw the architect from the a video of the architect that designed the buildings, and they were designed to withstand an impact of a 707, no problem. And we were told that the fires were burning so hot that everything melted, and they just all pancaked on themselves. That's not right. I mean, it fell at a free fall rate. There was nothing. There was no resistance whatsoever. So what we saw was a controlled demolition of three buildings. I know there's a lot of disagreement on that, but I'm sorry. I don't buy any of it. But we see that President Trump was lied about. He colluded with Russia, and then we find out that's all a lie. So we're surrounded by all these lies. All right. So knowing that this world system is nothing but lies and murder, if you can get that in, that's an extra, that's a plus. The two attacks on God's word come in Genesis. The attack is on Genesis because if you can bring down Genesis, you can bring down the entire Bible. I can't believe that because I can't believe Genesis. And the two methods of attack are, number one, evolution, number two, Big Bang. Neither which is a legitimate, proven idea. Both of them are made up. Both of them are just absolutely made up, and we'll let me talk about that. Big Bang. Let's start with that one. There's really three people that were responsible for that. Around it's fairly recent, 1930s, 1920s, 1930s. The first guy, and I call him the Three Stooges, because the first thing, there's nothing wrong with wanting to know where the earth came from. Wanting to investigate, wanting to see, there's nothing wrong with that. But here's what's wrong. When you take this and you start your investigation and you throw this in the garbage and you say, oh, okay, man is at the top. Man can figure out everything. Man has all the knowledge in the world. And where what we read in Genesis, one who does not believe in God, that's a fool. That's an absolute fool. I think it's Psalm 14. Let's look at it. I think it's Psalm 14. Let's see. Usually I'm more... Yeah, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. These three people are fools. And I don't care what the science books and everything, I don't care what they say. These are fools. The first one is quite, it doesn't surprise me. This guy's name is Georges Lemaître. I'm sure I'm messing up that name. He's Belgian. He's a Catholic priest. So he did his priest stuff, and then in his spare time, he went to MIT or, you know, to do science. He liked cosmology, which is the study of the cosmos. And he was the first one to write a paper saying there was a beginning. Because prior to that, the science believed that the universe was forever. It was eternal. It's been there forever. It'll be there forever. And he wrote a paper that went against that and said, no, I've done the calculations. I've got all this. And he did it all by math and by calculations. And he says, no, there was a beginning. And he came up with the theory that there is a Big Bang. And that's how it all started. Well, he wrote it in French. And apparently nobody in the science world cared in France about anything. So he didn't get over to America. He didn't get to the big cheese people. And so it was just it was pretty much ignored. But here's what he said. The Pope at that time, Pope Pius the 12th, he referred to the theory as a validation of the Catholic faith. Now, okay. See, in Catholic Church, they don't teach the Bible. They teach Catholicism. And that's not the same. They're not the same. Catholicism is kind of made up, and biblical doctrine is based on what? Thus saith the Lord. That's what it's based on. And so you can't trust the doctrines of Catholicism because they're not based here. Oh, well, they might be twisted and loosely connected, whatever. But here's what he said. Here's the quote. Because he doesn't see a conflict between his religion and what he's saying in the science world. He doesn't see any contradiction there. And that I think is really, Catholicism doesn't have a problem with mutually exclusive things both being true. They don't have a problem with that, because you got religion over here and you got reality over here. And religion can do, you know, you can believe all kinds of stuff, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with reality. And so they can say they believe Genesis 1, and then they can say that there was a Big Bang 13 billion years ago, and they're okay with that. That's perfectly okay, because go back to Genesis. There's no Big Bang. God, all right, verse 3, and God said. God spoke words. And verse 6, and God said. And then it's in verse 7, it says, and it was so. That says all he did was speak the words, and it was so. What do we need a Big Bang for? It doesn't say he crashed two stars together and we had energy everywhere and whatever. That is not compatible with this dribble that he's selling to everybody. But here's a quote from him. As far as I can see, such a theory remains entirely outside any metaphysical or religious question. It leaves the materialist free. All right, it leaves the materialist free to deny any transcendental being. And for the believer, which he's not, it removes any attempt at familiarity with God. Now, I don't know what to say about that. That is somebody that doesn't even know the basics of Genesis 1. And if you don't know Genesis 1, you can be guaranteed you don't know anything about the rest of the Bible. Again, the rest of Scripture rests on Genesis, even though it's Old Testament. Oh, we're a New Testament church, so why are we thinking that Old Testament is important? Because the New Testament rests on the Old Testament. If we don't have that, it just all falls apart. It doesn't make any sense. So, and then, okay, the second of the three stooges was a guy named Edwin Hubble. You've heard of the Hubble Space Telescope. This guy, he graduated from the University of Chicago in the early 1900s and had a graduate degree in astronomy. He got a job at Mount Wilson Observatory in California, which was at the time the largest telescope. And he noticed that there was a red shift. He's looking at stars and he sees this red shift and he says, oh, okay, they're all moving away. That's you've all heard of the Doppler effect. It's like when a train comes by, you hear kind of a high-pitched, because all the wavelengths are smashed together, and then as it's going out, the wavelengths are all lengthened, so it's a lower pitch. Well, that's what he's saying. Light, yeah, which he doesn't know anything about. Man doesn't know anything about light. I mean, they say it's a particle and a wave at the same time. Well, okay, well, just accept it and move on. Well, so what he says is that they look red, therefore they're moving away, and he came up with the same thing. Now these two guys are saying the same thing. Oh, now people are starting to pay attention. Then comes along Albert Einstein, the third of the three stooges, and he held to a static universe that, you know, for eternity. He was wrong. He admitted it. He said he called it his greatest blunder. So Albert Einstein, he was an idiot. He couldn't be believed. He was wrong. How about that? God's not wrong. If you take God's word, you'll not find anything wrong in it at all. God doesn't have to come back and correct like you know, these modern translations do. They feel like they have to correct everything. But he changed his mind and he got on board with the idea of a infinitesimally small dot of energy that we don't tell him where it came from, but it was there. Don't worry about it. And then it exploded. Well, why did it explode? Don't worry about that either. They don't know. But they say this is absolute fact. And I was looking at some of the websites. This is what got me all, you know, upset about this. This is taught as fact. I can't imagine what they're teaching in public schools, that this is exactly the way it is. And so, okay. So then if somebody learns this in school and then comes to Genesis, I can't believe any of this. And see, it's already building into them they already have a resistance to it because of their wicked heart. So that just makes it even harder for them to eventually come to Christ. So, and that's what the devil wants. He's doing exactly what he wants to have happen. Okay, the other thrust here of attack on Genesis is evolution. And this came about, it had been around for a long time, but it never got traction. When it got traction was in 1859 with The Origins of the Species by Darwin. Now, if you're sane, that's the most ridiculous thing you could ever imagine. One of the things they say is there's a fish, and thanks to natural selection, which is survival of the fittest, okay, this fish starts growing legs. And so he's swimming around. What are these? And then he has babies, and they have legs, and they still don't know what to do with them. And then one day, one of them says, huh, how about walking on the land? And so they come out of the water. They have gills, but who cares about that? But and then they walk on the land, and then they become dinosaurs, and then they become this, and they become that, and ultimately they become human. That's about as idiotic as anything. I'm sorry. That's just like, I wouldn't believe that. Even if I didn't know, I wouldn't believe that. That's absolutely ludicrous. But today, if you look on, all right, PBS, NPR, Discovery Channel, History Channel, any of the channels, CBS, NBC, publication, National Geographic, Scientific American, any of them, they will. Now, it used to be that they would just make their case and say, okay, here it is. But now they're becoming very militant. Now they're saying that people that believe the Bible are just stupid idiots. And they're just Neanderthals, and they don't deserve to live. And we're seeing more and more of that kind of stuff. They don't deserve to live. Because this is fact. And here's the National Academy of Sciences. Academy, I mean, that's like the Naval Academy and the Air Force Academy. Academy, that means they know everything, right? Here's what they define. They define a fact as an observation that has been repeatedly confirmed and for all practical purposes is accepted as true. Now that's really kind of scary. This is why we get a ridiculous press secretary that says, "Oh yes, we've got 2 quarters in decline, but we're not in a recession." And then you got a reporter that says, "But you got 2 quarters in decline." No, we're not in a recession. And just keep saying it. Just keep saying it over and over and over. We don't believe this. And then it becomes true. That's the way the devil works. He'll change. He'll change definitions. He'll change just whatever it takes. And then people start believing it. Because everybody says it. So, 8 million years ago, the apes and the humans. If you say to an evolutionist that, humans, you believe that humans came from apes, they will go ballistic on you. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. And what they will say, because I've had them just go off on me like that, and I didn't know, but now I do. It's they believe that we came from a common ancestor. We believe that apes and humans came from a common ancestor 5 billion years ago, And conveniently, that ancestor doesn't live anymore. He died off. You know, but we were the fittest, so it's just, and that everything ultimately goes into some amoeba somewhere. It's ludicrous to believe. But what I found is that you can't argue science with them. They won't listen. You have to argue Bible. You have to, okay, so you're an atheist then. You don't believe the Ten Commandments. You don't believe that, any of Jesus' sayings. You don't believe that. You don't believe anything that the Bible says because you don't believe Genesis. You're believing a bunch of stuff that you just made up. Okay, now, the time remaining, I want to talk a little bit about our culture and what this has done to our culture. This has damaged it probably far more than we know. I found this last night. I don't know if you ever heard of this. This was a Supreme Court case in 1947. And it's called Everson versus Board of Education. I never heard of it. All right. The case was a New Jersey statute allowed taxpayer money to go to pay for buses to bus parochial schools children to their schools, in addition to the public schools, to the public school children. And that's all it did. It allowed them to provide taxpayer-funded buses to take religious school children to their schools. I don't see a problem with that, but it was upheld 5-4 vote. But here's what this is where the Supreme Court starts revising and legislating from the bench. Here's what they added. They added that, I brought my copy of the Constitution. And this is what they're doing to the Constitution is the same thing they're doing to the Bible. They're adding, revising, putting stuff in that isn't there. And this is just all right. So I'm looking at Amendment 1, and let me read this. What's called a clause. It's called the Establishment Clause. You might have heard of it. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's it. That's all it says. And the Establishment Clause is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Well, this ruling says that not only we're not gonna disallow this, but not only does that apply to Congress, that applies to every government up and down the chain. Now, the founders were very, very careful about the wording, especially the amendments, because there were states that said, I'm not approving that unless you have this in it. So every word here is very important, and it has a meaning. Thomas Jefferson was very... I guess Virginia wanted to have the Church of England, and he wanted Virginia to be able to, spend tax money to have the Church of England like they were doing in England. And there was a lot of, and he was very much against that. He wanted to put a block on that. So, but when it says Congress, what this got reinterpreted to is any government entity whatsoever. So that's where we get if you're in a Brevard County public school and you're praying, you are now establishing a religion. That is an establishment of religion. But that's not what the Constitution says. That's not what we signed up for. What we signed up for was Congress, the federal in Washington, D.C., making a law. It's not me praying in a Brevard County school. So the problem with this now, and we'll see some other court cases that this has done, is what it has done is pushed us into the church. Okay, you can pray, you can do whatever you want to in your church, but don't take it out there, which is in direct contradiction to what the Lord Jesus said. He said, take it, Acts 1:8. But you should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's us. And we're not, when we talk about freedom of religion, it's not just in here. It's out there. We can pray. We can witness. We can do all those things. But with this idea, you can say you're trying to establish a religion. And I work for the federal government, and they're very, you know, if you have a Bible on your desk, oh, you're trying to establish. You're violating the Establishment Clause. So what this ruling is was unconstitutional. The other problem with it is, and it's because nobody's reading the Constitution now, just like they're not reading the Bible, and yet they're commenting on it and they're suggesting what it should be. Article 3 on the Supreme Court: the judicial power shall extend in all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States and treaties made or which shall be made, to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction. Okay, those are, you know, the whole country kind of thing. To controversies between two or more states, and New Jersey is one state. So the Supreme Court had no jurisdiction there. That's why New Jersey has its own Supreme Court, and why Florida has its own Supreme Court, because that's within Florida. The United States Supreme Court only gets involved if it's between states. Citizens of different states, citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states. So there's always, whenever the Supreme Court gets involved, it's between two states. So Roe versus Wade was, again, that was unconstitutional too. They should have said, no, we're not going to listen to that case. But they don't, because we're being being run by the devil, really, and this is how he's doing. Here's another one. This one was in 1971. It was called Lemon versus Kurtzman. And here's what this, I mean, we lost this one. This was, I think it was Pennsylvania. It was Pennsylvania and Rhode Island both were giving money to, quote, parochial schools, because inflation, and some of these schools were closing, and they said, okay, well, the state said, okay, we'll help you, and some maladjusted, you know, taxpayer said, I'm taking this to the Supreme Court, and he did, and he won, and here's what came out of it: three doctrines to determine whether the Establishment Clause has been violated or not. The secular purpose doctrine, the principal, or you can imagine what that is, the principal or primary effects doctrine, the excessive entanglement test. And so these are applied, and if any one of them fails, then you violated the Establishment Clause, and you'll have to cease and desist. This is why we can't do things. That's why we're blocked from doing things in the system. Here's another one. Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District. This is in Pennsylvania, where students will be made aware of gaps and problems in the Darwins. They're going to teach Darwin, but they're going to be made aware of the problems with it. Okay. And if Darwin's theory is taught, then they also have to teach something called intelligent design, which is, you know, I guess you could say God. They can't, because they don't want to violate the Establishment Clause, which has nothing to do with them. It's only Congress. If Congress is not involved in writing a law, then the Establishment Clause does not apply. All right? So they made a disclaimer saying that intelligent design is an alternate explanation that differs from evolution, and if they're interested, they'll give you the name of a book and you can go read it. Okay? That's all they said. Again, some malcontent said, I can't have that. You have to teach only evolution, because that's truth. Because there's no other, and there's no critical thinking going on. I don't have a problem with teaching Darwinism, because it's so ridiculous. It's no sane person would believe it, but you know, it's fine. It's when you exclude the truth, God's word, that's the problem. Well, the Pennsylvania district, in their defense, when they were defending against this, they ran away. They said, "This is not religion. This is not God. We're not teaching God. We would never teach God." So they totally ran away from it rather than defending it. They still lost. The other guy won, and I guess they had to pay a bunch of money, and they had to get rid of only teaching Darwin's theory. They could not teach that. Now, one other one fairly recently was called Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, where, and this was 6-3. This is a Trump court. There was a man, his name is Joseph Kennedy, high school football coach, that after the football game, he went out onto the field, and he'd been doing this for like 8 years. He goes out into the middle of the field, he gets on his knees, and starts praying. And pretty soon, many of the students come out there too, and they pray too. All right, another malcontent said, this was actually the school district. The school district said, "All right, we'll give you a place where you can go in private, where nobody can see you. We'll do that for you." And he said, "No, we do it in public." And so he was fired, and they took it to the Supreme Court, and he won. He won, but not for the right reason. They're still believing this establishment stuff, but he won on the basis of free speech. He said that if you force him to not pray, then you're violating his free speech. So I think what I want to kind of wrap this up with is we can learn a lot about what's going on. We don't want to get obsessed about it, but we need to know what's going on. We need to know to find a trusted source of what's going on. And understand it from a biblical viewpoint, and understanding that this is an attack from the devil, and it's also, I mean, we're next. Like I said, the Southern Baptist Convention is already receiving much of the heat from the Biden administration, and we're next. That's what they're not after Trump, although they are after Trump. Once they get him, then it's going to be Christianity. Once they're successful, then they're not going to stop, because this is fueled by the devil. So the thing is, we've got to be not ashamed of the book of Genesis. We've got to stand for it. At any time we can, any time some of this stuff comes up, we can stand for it, and we can say, no, the truth is that God spoke the world into existence, and it was so. And if we stay silent, if we just say, okay, I'll believe it in here, but then out there, I'm going to believe whatever they tell me to believe, because that's, you know, what everybody's doing. And that's what happened in the church in Germany with Hitler. They went along with what the government was saying, rather than what they knew to be true, which maybe they didn't know. So, all right, Pastor?